about 18,000.
And then the you have those as like the Marines or the Antoine, what is his name, the Colonel? That the Pro or what groups?
Pro TVN. Pro the Palace.
Yeah, what groups are those?
This moves over into an analysis of the specific units involved. And here we consider that the critical point is which are the key units, not how many soldiers in Saigon feel one way or the other, but which are the really strong units. And of these, you can identify about four or five such units. You have the Presidential Guard, you have the Special Forces, you have the Airborne, you have the Marines, you have the Air Force. You have an armored unit just on the outside of Saigon here. Of those units, we carry the Presidential Guard, except for one element about which there is some question now, as pro the palace. We carry the Special Forces, obviously, as pro the palace. We carry this armored unit outside of Saigon as pro the palace. Anti the palace, we carry the airborne units, which is the paratroop units, and some parts of the Marines, although this is a little vague also, to just how anti they are. These are the main forces, plus the Air Force, which is pretty much solid anti-palace. The sum total result of it, if you skip all the rest of the incidental units, the key units come out about even match. There's enough, in other words, to have a good fight on both sides.
Thank you. You are decisive.
Now, we also have done a little homework on the precise.
In other words, change since August is really what?
What change in August is that there are certain units which have moved over. There were a couple of Marine units that we did carry as pro palace, and we now carry as.
Any of the names were given in that last cable of Ambassador Lloyd's and the one before give you any change in that?
There were certain of them, yes. The Marine, I think, was the main one. That was one of the main ones that moved southern. We also have done some homework on what we're talking about when we talk about coups. And we have identified out of the welter of intelligence on this thing essentially two critical groups. These are what we call the general's coup and another group which is a combination of a couple of elements working, but I think can be best defined as the Conlau dissidents. These were people who were associated with the government one time or another who moved into dissidence. They're politically fairly sophisticated and younger elements, most of them. Outside of these two groups, there are other people in Saigon who would join a coup or who talk about coups but really don't have that degree of interest in it. Some of these are the old oppositionists, the Dai Viets, some of the junior military personnel, and so forth. But as definable coup groups, you have these two elements. Now, there's very little contact between the two, although the generals have indicated a realization that they must move toward a government of civilians afterwards, and have talked in some general terms about who would be in it. The Conlau group has realized that they need military force in order to come bring it over. And they have made a few minor contacts with the generals and considerably more contacts with junior military officers with the idea of getting the junior officers to move and then dragging the rest of the generals and so forth on. But there's not much contact between the two. Then the GBN reaction and activities that they have taken to defend themselves and to move to meet this threat have not brought up a second.
On that list, what about the disposition of forces?
There has not been much substantial variation in forces. We have not had reassignments or changes of commanders. The only substantial force movement was the 9th Division movement down to the Delta. But the units in the Saigon area are not terribly different from what they used to be. In fact, quite a bit the same.
I ask a question. I mean, you have to assume that GM has dealt with there's going to be a coup against them for probably the last couple of months. Are there any, and so therefore he's made his own arrangements, intelligence-wise, forces,
think the only one that I can identify of that nature was the reference to one or two units in the Presidential Guard.
Four tanks?
Yes,
four tanks. Now, is that sufficient to make a material difference?
It could make an initial difference, but in the balance of units, if you move back again, take the tanks, for instance, if they are met by this tank unit, why they can be met rather handily. I don't think there's enough to say that the balance is tipped in the key force.
Well, then he, what he has, with that exception, he has sufficient forces to protect himself. He figures against any kind of coup.
I think he has the same forces he's always maintained for his own protection, for his personal protection. He also is leaving in place the units that he knows are somewhat unfriendly and disaffected, which he's known for many a moon. In other words, the airborne command, for instance.
Where does this report that's been following up on the in this morning's intelligence, the effect that there may be a general shakeup of commands and commanders?
There has been a story around for about a week or so that there would be certain changes in command come up over National Day. There was some talk about it. We just don't have any more specific on that.
Based on other coups, such as South Korea or Pakistan, Iraq, are these forces, correlation forces, particularly significant?
Had the victory because they had the advantage at the outset after a few hours of fighting, but then the forces outside the city rallied to ZM's support and saved the day for him.